So this week, we, in an almost offhanded way, talked a little bit about the idea of losing yourself in a book when you're a teenager. Reading a book not because you were assigned it, but because you found it, and you found a place in that book that took you somewhere you never imagined going and put you in touch with voices you didn't even realize were out there. S.E. Hinton, good morning.
Hi.
When you wrote The Outsiders, not only did you escape into a book, you actually wrote the book you escaped into, didn't you?
Yeah, right. Yes.
What voices did you find in The Outsiders that you weren't hearing as a teenager?
The voice of truth. You know, when I began writing, there wasn't any realistic young adult literature. Matter of fact, there wasn't even, didn't exist as a genre. But I wanted to read something that I saw, you know, that I thought kids would really be doing.
Well, she was certainly right about that. The author of The Outsiders, S.E. Hinton. Can I call you Susie?
Sure.
All right. She also wrote Rumblefish, and That Was Then, This Is Now. She's on the line from Oklahoma. Also with us is Patrick Henry Bass, senior editor for Essence Magazine. Good morning, Patrick.
Good morning, Tom. Good morning, Celeste.
What book did you lose yourself into as a teen?
A separate piece.
Ah.
Yeah.
Not young adult fiction, necessarily. Were you assigned it, or did you just find it?
I was assigned it, didn't read it, and then read it over the summer.
Well, we've been getting responses from you folks online. Many of you shared the books that affected you when you were young. The Island of Blue Dolphins, Catcher in the Rye by J.D. Salinger, Are You There, God? It's Me, Margaret. Celeste, you have some suggestions, right?
Yeah, but they also weren't young adult fiction. You know, things like Les Miserables really captured me. I mean, I read Bleak House. Bleak House was a life changer for me as a
What about
young
Proust?
Adult.
Did you knock that out?
I'm not trying to. Those were just really important books to me growing up.
I think S.E. Hinton made a major point that she opened up a whole new category in young adult fiction. The Outsiders looked at two worlds. There were the Greasers and the Socias. And many people remember Francis Ford Coppola's adaptation of that groundbreaking novel.
Indeed.
Because it introduced Tom Cruise and you know, many, many young actors at the time. S.E. Hinton was writing against what was out there, which was pretty scarce, were novels about, young adult novels about prom kings and prom queens and cheerleaders. And what's ironic is those are the novels that are that young people are gravitating towards today.
S.E. Hinton, how would you distinguish your books from, say, Rebel Without a Cause or East of Eden, which are also about youth angst and coming of age?
Well, those are movies.
Right, right. But, I mean, they're based
That's a big distinction. I don't even know how to answer that.
Well, is there a distinction between young adult fiction and literature in general? Or do they have a fundamentally different mission?
Well, that's fundamentally a focus on the teen experience, yes, because I find that a really interesting time of life to write about, because it's when your ideals start clashing up against the walls of compromise, and everybody has to do that, and that's, you know, it's a dramatic time of life. You don't even have to look around for the drama.
What I find interesting about the young adult category and just young fiction in general is that characters have to go through a change. So the way that they start the narrative, they must have learned something at the very end of it. And I think, Ms. Hinton, you broke the barriers with that. I mean, it was a very grown-up way of looking at angst and acne and acceptance in your narrative. But today, people still demand that and young adult fiction, whether it's Harry Potter, whether it's Judy Blume, whether it's Paula Danziger's P.S. The Cat Ate My Gymsuit, they have to go through some type of change, which is a challenge because young people are ever evolving. I mean, who they were last month is not who they're going to be 2 months later.
All right.
Well, that's something I've always known somehow in my books, and every one of them, by the end, the character has undergone some kind of change, not necessarily growth, that change.
Well, and teenagers understand that by the end, you will have changed, that's for sure. S.E. Hinton, I've got two questions from our listeners here. One listener, who's actually our 16-year-old intern, Emma, who wants to know, since you wrote one of your most well-known books as a teenager, do you think The Outsiders is still relevant to the new generation of kids?
Well, all I can say is it sold better last year than it's ever sold. It's never going out of print.
That's a good answer.
It sells better every year, And I still get the same kind of letters from my readers as I got 40 years ago.
Do they sound like this? B.J. O'Shea put this on our Facebook page. I love The Outsiders, she writes, as a book alone, but even more for opening the door to conversations about my mom's youth in the 1960s in Oklahoma.
Great. Yeah, I do get a lot of multi-generational letters these days. And it's, well, my dad said this was his favorite book growing up, or somebody saying, I shared this with, you know, my teenager, and it opened up a lot of conversation. And that's really cool.
You know, Patrick, young adult fiction is a connection between kids and their parents, because they know the parent experienced the book. So if they like it, it's an insight, oddly, into parents at a time when parents and kids often don't communicate terribly well in the teens.
Right, but kids don't like getting books from their parents. They don't like to do that. So The Outsiders was a phenomenon because it was a pass-along book by teens. As a matter of fact, there was an adult book that Judy Blum wrote called Wifey. You remember that one?
Yeah.
So that was sort of passed along.
That was controversial.
Highly controversial that she did that book.
Well, you can go to thetakeaway.org and hear more suggestions. A Tree Grows in Brooklyn by Betty Smith. Harry Potter, of course. All Quiet on the Western Front was one suggestion. You're working on a youth.
I plead guilty. I'm working on a book for Scholastic about an African-American kid who has superpowers, not like myself. And he's struggling with acne and acceptance, which are issues I'm still struggling with today in my 60s.
Wow. Susie, you have any advice for Patrick?
Let me see. Yeah, it won't be as bad as you're going to think it is.
That's not what I'm looking for in terms of a blurb.
That is the best piece of advice I've ever heard. Was it harder to find your voice to communicate with teens later on? I mean, you wrote your first book when you were 18, but you've been very successful with books subsequently as an adult. Susie?
Well, not so much later on as it is now. Like right now, I don't have any desire to write a young adult book. Hmm. And I'm writing an adult paranormal comedy suspense thing that's totally without substance.
I love that genre.
That's what I want to write right now.
Well, you created adult literature. You could create the paranormal comedy suspense thing.
Okay.
I love that.
Sounds like a challenge.
Coming to a Barnes & Noble shelf near you. S.E. Hinton, thanks so much for being with us.
Well, thank you.
Patrick, you got any more suggestions?
Well, what I wanted to say about S.E. Hinton was there was also fascination around who was S.E. Hinton. She was sort of like the George Sand of her day in the 1960s because, you know, no one knew whether she was male or female, and she wrote about male characters so realistically.
Oh, that's interesting. Yeah. So the author becomes a character.
She was sort of a J.D.
Like Salinger. Like Salinger, yeah.
Exactly.
There
yes,
we go.
Yes.
Patrick Henry Bass, senior editor for Essence Magazine. The conversation continues online at thetakeaway.org. Books that you found as a teenager that, you know, stay with you as an adult.
Yeah, my son and my new husband are actually beginning to bond over both sharing the Conan. He's introduced Grant to the Conan books, and they're sharing that experience.
Not Conan O'Brien.
Not
no, Conan the Barbarian, the original Robert E. Howard book. So, you know, it can be a bond.
Got to talk to Grant about Bleak House.
Not Balzac, Cousin Ben.
He's not real into Charles Dickens. Anyhow, our listeners have a lot to say about this. B.J. O'Shea wrote it on our Facebook page. My dad had me read biographies of trailblazing women and Frank Amelia Earhart. At the time, I hated it. It's only recently I connected this to the fact that I'm a strong woman, and I've never thought twice about the fact that a woman can do anything a man can do. Give us your favorite young adult, the things that changed your life. Call us at 877-8-MY-TAKE or post on our site, thetakeaway.org.
I'm John Hockenberry.
I'm Celeste Headlee. This is The Takeaway.